Very good. Brother Hans, good to see you. All right. Good to have him here. Stewardship month. You do realize, I know you do, that you, in your lifetime and in your possession, you have that which you can serve the Lord with. That's why He saved us, is to serve us, to serve Him, to live for Him. And we're going to go back to a passage we've used in the past, and that is found in the book of Exodus, chapter 3. We'll read part of that chapter, and then we'll get into the first five verses of chapter 4. Now, if you've got a good memory, we used part of this last year, not the entire thing. We've got four messages on this passage of Scripture, especially the first five verses of chapter 4. Just to give us the setting here as to where we are here in the book of Exodus, and is it, we're going to apply it to our study tonight. We're going to begin in verse 15 of chapter 3. Exodus 3, verse 15. God said moreover unto Moses, thou shalt, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, and the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. Go and gather the elders of Israel together, and say unto them, the Lord God of our fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you, and seen that which is done to you in Egypt. And I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt unto the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, and the Hivites and the Jebusites unto a land flowing with milk and honey. And they shall hearken to thy voice, and thou shalt come, thou and the elders of Israel, unto the king of Egypt. And ye shall say unto him, the Lord God of the Hebrews hath met with us, and now let us go, we beseech thee, 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. And I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go, no, not by a mighty hand. And I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof. And after that, he will let you go. And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And it shall come to pass that when you go, you shall not go empty. If you remember the narrative, the story, they gave them that which they needed for the journey. But every woman shall borrow of her neighbor. Here's part of it here. And of her that sojourneth in her house, jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment. And ye shall put them upon your sons and upon your daughters, and ye shall spoil the Egyptians. Now with that setting, we see, and we get into verse 4, or chapter 4, and Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, what is that in thine hand? And he said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. And he said, and he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. Moses fled from before it. The Lord said unto Moses, put forth thine hand and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand, that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. As you read your Bible, if you've grown in the Lord, you realize sometimes we read something, and most of the time, I'll say, speak for myself, normally it's on my part that I don't comprehend exactly what the Lord's saying to me. Just doesn't sound reasonable to my mind thought or to us human beings. You see, me and you, we have our own way of thinking, don't we? Oh, sure we do. But as we study the Scriptures and as the Holy Spirit manifests Himself in our hearts and lives, He leads us and He tells us and He shows us, and our, as a child of God, our thinking improves. Isn't it a humbling thought that God knows our hearts? You know, I can say whatever I want to say. I can do whatever I want to do. What is it that's motivating me? What is it that's causing me to do what I'm doing? See, God knows our hearts. He knows why we do what we do. And if we're thinking right, we want it to be God-honoring. If God can't be a part of it, you better let it alone. Just leave it alone. Because without Him, we're going to make a mess. Remember when God chose David to be king, if it had been up to Samuel, He would have chosen Eliab over David because a sovereign, omniscient God knows the hearts of men. And with that thought right there, hold your place here. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And we're going to read some verses here, beginning in verse 26. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We'll read, start in 26 and read down through the chapter. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 26. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. And notice what he's emphasizing to us here in this passage. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That, according as it is written, He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Now, with that, as we read these first four verses here in chapter 4, first five verses actually, it helps us to understand a little more our position and our responsibility and duties as a good steward of the Lord. You've read the Old Testament and you know about the call of Moses. But when God called Moses, he was over 40 years old. He was already what a lot of folks would call being old. To me, it's a very young person. Anyway, ever wonder why God did this? He was 40. You have to know a little bit about the personality of Moses to better understand it. And of course, as you read about the ministry of Moses and all that he did, Moses could be impatient and a high-tempered individual. He could. He was also self-willed. I call that being hard-headed. Yeah. But God waited until Moses was 80 years old. Now that makes me feel good. Waited till he was 80 years old before he used him. Now, down through the years, and it's normal for people to look forward to retirement. And I've often said, you've probably heard me say it, been talking to, probably to you maybe, I can't imagine in the morning, as long as God gives me health, I can't imagine getting up in the morning and nothing to do. I can't comprehend that. I mean, I just can't do that. It's not part of me. It's not part of my being. I got to get up and do something. And I'm going to say it again. Folks, early time with the Lord in the mornings is the best time in the world for you to have time with Him. It's the best time whether you're able to do that or not. But whatever time you can do it, you need to do it. But it is a wonderful time with the Lord. The other morning, I was up at midnight and I looked out and there wasn't enough snow to cover the ground. I said, well, it's probably not going to snow that much. But then that certainly didn't come to fruition, but we got the snow. And, of course, about quarter after eight, out went the power. The power had gone from several of you. I lost your power. And, but there was a blessing there. It was during the day. It wasn't night, you know. But it lasted all day long. And then when I thought I was going to be able to get out, the problem of my lights going out was on my own driveway. A tree, top of a tree. The tree broke off and fell across the power lines. And, of course, that took care of the power. And then when that, you know, the power company, they come and they make sure you got your power, but they're not going to clean up anything. Now, I promise you that. They're not going to touch anything. Get the power on and they're out of there. I understand. I was working for those people, especially when it came down to the house. It was down around 23 degrees and the wind was blowing and all of that snow and, oh my, whoever that fellow was, he earned his pay. They all do. They all do. But, you see these things happening and you have to change gears. You have to change what you were intending to do. My neighbor came down there. He and his wife came down there and shoveled my sidewalk and took care of that. But they know now that, of course, my wife's gone and they know how old I am. And they come down and said, preacher, I want to come down and help you out. How appreciative. Just as nice of people as you'd ever want to meet. But they don't know the Lord. Oh, we need to pray for them. Need to know Christ. But God waited till he was this age to use him in a tremendous and wonderful way. And of course, God asked him, there in verse 2, what is that in thine hand? And he said, a rod. Have you ever stopped to think about, and of course, we know the rest of the story. I'm talking about people that get saved. Have you ever thought about the number of people that are saved just in our nation? Well, let's just take our state. State of Virginia, I mean. I'm talking about they've been genuinely born again. They've been washed in the blood. They know the Lord. But how many of them are serving the Lord? How many of them are true stewards of the grace of God that God has bestowed upon them? No, salvation, when we get it, when we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, and we become a child of God, it's not a free ride. It's not that we're just going to sit down and do nothing. No. What is that in thine hand? Whatever it is that we have, it's a gift from God. It's a gift from the Lord. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. James 1:17. God has given gifts to all of us, every one of us. We can be used of the Lord if we really won't be used. And the problem that really concerns me is that the person just not really concerned about whether they're used of the Lord or not. And that's not a good thing. Hold your place there. Go to Matthew 25 with me. Matthew chapter 25. Here is where God tells us about the talents. Matthew 25. And starting in verse 14. Matthew 25, verse 14. We know the story. We'll read it again for emphasis. Verse 14, Matthew 25. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And to one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1. To every man according as his several ability, and straightway took his journey. And so, God, this word several here means separate and distinct. You can do things that I can't do. And he can do things that he can't do. And she can do something that she can't do. But then you put that body together. There's a cohesiveness there. And all of us together can do great things for God with his power, of course. Then in verse 16, we go on. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, notice what the Lord said to him, thou wicked and slothful servant. Thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. And to every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away that which he hath. And cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. And there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now this is a servant, even though he was unprofitable. But the Lord said, cast him into outer darkness. That's some things like you read in the Word of God. It provoke your thinking. And you have to ask the Lord to help you to understand. Now we know, you know, and I know, you read the Word of God, someone that's saved cannot lose their salvation. But I believe this just simply has to do with this darkness. One day I spent a half a day on this verse of Scripture. It's been a long time ago, but I did. And I came up with this, and I wrote it in my Bible here. A darkness outside the joy and light of God's presence. Folks, that's a bad place to be. I mean, that's a bad, bad place to be. Outside the joy, Listen, what I'm about to say, outside the joy of responsibility. For a person to be born again, child of God, and not carrying out any responsibility, what a terrible place that is to be as a child of God. I don't know about Brother Hines, but you can tell when a person is growing in the Lord and when they're not. And it's not that you walk around with some kind of an indicator that, you know, measures their spirituality. No. It's just their overall way of life and demeanor. Tells you volumes and listen, I'm not going to let the way people live and things that people do that I know are wrong ruin my joy of God, my heart. Not about to let that happen. But I can see it. But what really burdens me is to see that individual and to know that they are robbing themselves of all the good things that God has for them. And they are. They're doing that. You will not read in the Bible anywhere that God blessed, unless there was repentance first, blessed anyone that didn't serve Him. It's a very serious matter as to whether we're a good steward of the things that God's given us or not. But whatever it is in your hand and mine, it's a gift from God. It's a gift from God. This so many years ago, I was in Springfield. I don't know if I illustrated this the last time or not, but it's when God was dealing with me and about preaching. And I think me and another fellow was on visitation from Bethlehem Baptist Church, and we went down to Springfield. Kind of a jaunt from where the church was, but nevertheless, people visit, so we went to see them. And there was a moment of silence in the car there, but I don't know, I'll never forget it, but how God was dealing with my heart about surrendering and doing what He wanted me to do, and I'm using this old thing about what in the world can a dumb country boy do for God? Well, it doesn't matter whether you're a country boy or city boy, it's the heart that's important. It's the heart that God wants. He wants the heart. When God has your heart, He's got you. God doesn't have your heart, He doesn't have you. But the wonderful thing is that God continues to convict and to move on the heart of that person. Sad thing is, there are some that will vow they're saved, but hadn't been in church in months and years and not serving the Lord. But God, when that person got saved, God put something in their hand. Now here, this one person had 5 talents. One had 2, the other one had 1. I've known people down through the years that just ooze with all kinds of abilities and talents and the expertise of knowing what to do things, just can do anything. These people that can do anything with their hands, I mean, it's just amazing. And then there's someone that's not that gifted, but there is something they can do. And they ought to do it with pride, the right kind of pride, and giving God the honor, the glory, and the praise, but to still being used and fitted in the body. Everybody's doing that which helps the body to move forward. Every good gift, as I read there, comes from God, James 1:17. God has talents for every one of us. And I was going to say, when I read this definition that I found, a darkness outside the joy and light of God's presence. You just think about that. A darkness outside the joy and light of God's presence. Terrible place to be. Terrible place to be. And just let me say to you, number here tonight, even though it's small. Don't ever entertain doing something that's going to get you away from God. Could be your wife and her husband. It could be that you caved in to that teen that lives in your house and they're determined they're going to do what they want to do and regardless, and instead of fight to fight, you cave in. It's never been good. Never been good. However, at the same time, we need a lot of wisdom. We need a lot of discernment from God to know what to do, to be the right example we ought to be. And of course, we're preaching something and we're teaching, then we got to walk the walk and talk the talk. See? Then that makes us a good steward. And I'm going to stop there. There's a lot to be said here with this. So we'll stop for tonight and we'll pick up next time. And we'll continue, okay? Let's all stand. Dear Father, we're thankful for, again, a freshness of opening your word again, and God studying a portion of it. And of course, now that we're in our stewardship month, God, we're just so thankful for it. God, anything that I say and do is just simply to encourage, to help people to be motivated. Of course, Holy Spirit, you, if that's done, you'll have to do that. So God, help us, I do pray. And Lord, bless this invitation. You move on hearts as only you can. Well, thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. 156, if you need the book, is Your All on the Altar. Oh my, good song, wonderful words in this. 156. So let me pray and we'll proceed. God bless now this invitation. God, to Your name's honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, let's sing together. 156.